When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Devin Marks. Devin is the nation's leading TED-style speaking coach. He's called the TED Talk Whisperer by thought leaders and media outlets. His clients' spreadworthy ideas are catalytic, with hundreds of millions of worldwide views, including Harvard's Dr. Robert Waldinger for his breakaway TED Talk, What Makes a Good Life, now clocking over 45 million views. Devin is truly able to help you. Let the world live your message. Thanks so much for being here today, Devin.
Well, Diane, thank you. It's a pleasure and looking forward to the conversation.
I am as well. And we're going to be exploring some of the impact that TED has had on all different kinds of communication. So I'd like it, if you would just explain to the listeners, you know, what is TED? What is TEDx? So we have a foundation that we can start from.
Absolutely. I mean, this common language is helpful because it is a jungle all to itself, the TEDster community. 20-odd events happen at different times of the year at the big TED, we say, level, and then there's TEDx. So the easiest way to explain it to folks is think about the professional baseball. New York Yankees play the Boston Red Sox. My apologies to any of your listeners who aren't devotees of those two teams, but that's TED Summit. That's the TED Next that is a new program they're introducing. That's TED annually global in Vancouver. Not to be confused with the minor leagues of TED, which is TEDx.
Okay.
And just like in baseball, there's single A, double A, and triple A levels. So too, the TEDx events that happen around the world tend to slot into almost TED ready, kind of TED ready, and not close to TED ready. So, you know, there are 3,700 or so TEDx events that happen worldwide every year.
Wow.
With 4 to 20 speakers. If you do the math, that's tens of thousands of new TEDx talks, but most of them aren't good enough to jump to the big game. And by that, I mean a TEDx talk being featured on the homepage of TED at the same attention level as one of the TED Global speakers or the TED Summit speakers that I spoke to. So, you know, if you're a TEDx speaker at TEDx Syracuse, New York, for example, your ambition, of course, is to give a clearly focused, story-wrapped, and action-igniting talk that garners enough views at the local level on YouTube that Big TED goes, ooh, we need this on the homepage of TED, and we're going to feature this talk. That's where the huge views happen. But too often, a TEDx speaker stays at the YouTube level, and we call it the graveyard of YouTube for TEDxers.
Thank you for that. I appreciate this. So this is really something that has taken off in the past couple of years, I would say, with, you know, that this is a way of gathering information, learning about different things on the one hand, and for the people who are speaking, it's a way of sharing their thought leadership and whatnot. Talk some about how this concept is impacting the way we communicate, like the way leaders in organizations communicate.
That is a very perceptive question, because TED as a conference is popular, right? That's been running for 40 years or so. But in the last 10 years, it's really jumped to the consciousness of most business leaders and thinkers, and a definite style has emerged. What I like to say is, you know, there's a new generation out there, and it's not generation X, Y, or Z. It's anyone holding an iPhone, digesting information in short video snippets or text, you know, level of concentration. And so what TED does at its best is it meets those listeners or viewers in the style that they tend to prefer, which is highly focused messaging. It's story wrapped. We wrap stories of a certain type around the key points and the big ideas. And then that are action igniting. These messages are uniquely action igniting and lead to, at the highest level, not at that TEDx graveyard level we were talking about, but at TED.com, the top 100 speakers on TED.com, they are clearly focused in their message, they're story wrapped, and they're action igniting. A listener knows what to do next.
Okay, that's so interesting. So it sounds to me like because of the way that we're absorbing information these days, and this platform, what we've gotten used to with, what is it, like 18 minutes or 20 minutes is...
Yeah, even 12 minutes or 7 minutes these days. Wow. They tend to get shorter and shorter.
Wow, that's amazing. And I love it because it's succinct, you know, a clear message, get the point across. So that then feels to me like there are parts of that that we should be bringing into our communication styles at work, you know. I mean, this is a business show, but with our families, whatever, but especially I would think at work, does that track?
Ever so accurate. I mean, look, I say every speaker, you know, for the last 1,000 years, you know, wants to connect with the audience and be focused.
Right.
That hasn't changed. What has changed is the mediums with which we share and spread ideas. And as a result of those mediums changing, you know, the iPhone information processing, the short attention span, et cetera, when we say we want a focused message, it means something different in the TED context, right? I call it a five-fold focus, the five levels of the ways that we focus messages. For example, what is the singular big idea of that TED talk that the audience is going to remember and share? Remember, most TED Talks are digested on screen, and the way they spread is somebody watches a talk of 18 minutes or 12 minutes, 7 minutes, and the through line, the big idea, is so clear that I can repeat it to you in conversation, and you repeat it to somebody, that I can share it on Facebook or Instagram and summarize it, and you do the same. That's the spreading, right? That's where the millions upon millions of views happen. The through line, the big idea is there. The second level is people aren't going to remember 7, 17, and 27 points. Research shows that we really process five or fewer remember and can share and summarize 5 or fewer points, and 3 is the power number.
I've heard that.
Yes, the rule of three, it's called. Yes. The rule of thirds. And so what I tell any leader or researcher who has a message to share in a conference setting, or anyone who's even got to make a podcast presentation, get that through line focused and then support it with 3 key points that individually support it, but also those 3 points lock together and move the idea forward, right? We could talk about 27 different factors that make for a successful TED Talk, but your viewers, you know, your listeners, their eyes and ears would glaze over. So what I'm doing is taking a little bit of my medicine and saying, look, if I'm giving an all employee all hands,
yeah,
if I'm giving a keynote presentation in the fall at our annual conference, if I'm even making a boardroom presentation, I want to follow the rule of three and the big idea. And then I want to wrap those in story. So, you know, the 3 key points of this conversation, a TED Talk is a TED Talk, and a TED successful styled talk is focused, story wrapped, and action igniting. 3 things, right?
Yeah.
Now, when we start to talk about stories, we all know stories. You know, we had bedtime stories when we were kids. We watch stories on Netflix. We hear them in sermons on Sundays or Saturday, and there are a lot we're surrounded in stories. Well, it turns out in the TED context, a particular style of story works best to quickly and cleanly share and spread an idea that it's wrapped around.
And what
how do I summarize this? I'm going to break the rule of three right here, but it's acronym. So we're allowed to break the rule of three with an acronym. It's a sticky story that we want to tell.
Okay.
A sticky story. S stands for a story that's structured in a very tight design. There's a setup, there's a problem, and there's a resolution, all in a very quick and tight design. So the structure is something that a TEDster thinks about. T. They also think about texture. You know, that story that you share, there needs to be enough texture or detail communicated that I can picture it in my mind's eye, right? STI, igniting. We want this story to have a job, to move in a direction, to ignite an idea that leads to action for the listener. STIC, connecting. STICK, kid level. We say we want this at the grade school level of language, 7th grade or so. Acronyms have no place. Industry lingo really has no place. The multi-syllable, I have a PhD words have no place, right? Let's speak in clean and clear and simple language. And then why? A sticky story is stickiest when it's yours, when it comes out of your experience, and you're sharing that with an audience that is connecting with it, that can see it in their mind's eye, that has clarity on what it is, et cetera, et cetera. A sticky story works best in the TED and the non-TED environment for sharing ideas.
Interesting. It's so clear. I really appreciate that. There's a couple things I love about the kid level. Love it. Let's keep it simple. Connecting, you know, igniting action. I love the texture so that it means something to people. It's something that they can grab onto. It's great. It is great. Now, you also say there are 4 B's of a winning TED Talk.
Okay. the 4 B's are more related to my work with a client, right?
Okay.
So the CEO or head of, pharmaceutical, whatever organization, a marketing or communications vice president will want me to work with that CEO. Well, that's great. But the four B's come into play there for me. Does that leader have the bench strength to be able to communicate nimbly and clearly, to memorize a great deal of content? So bench strength. Do they have the buy-in, right? I've been assigned to them as their coach. Do they really, really want it? Because it takes so much work. It's such a heavy lift to deliver a TED Talk. Yeah. Prepare it. It takes months. We work 3 to 6 months, often with weekly sessions. So is the buy-in there? And that, of course, it relates to bandwidth. Does that leader have the bandwidth on their calendar to be able to lean into the process? Even if they've got the buy-in, they may not have the bandwidth.
Right.
And then the fourth B is, of course, bullion or budget. So those are the four B's. And I say, look, as a hopeful speaker, a TED speaker or a keynote delivery in the TED style, know that it's, not everyone can give a TED Talk. There is a skill set there that's necessary, table ante, if you will. Everybody can play basketball, but only so many people can play at the Scottie Pippen level, and he still worked really hard,
right?
So he had the buy-in, and he made the room on his calendar to wake up at 4 a.m. every morning and practice before practice.
Right.
The bandwidth.
Yeah. Yeah. That I think that's really important for a couple of reasons. I mean, not just – like I hear that and I think to myself, okay, well, those four B's, or at least three of them, apply to anyone wanting to learn a different way of communicating their message. So,
very true.
Right? So it is received.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We tend to underestimate how much work goes into a project, right?
Yeah.
Whether a speech or a training or... we underestimate it. And so those the three of the four B's really help align the expectations of a client. So they understand how much work's going to go in, how much they really need to want it, and how much time it's going to take. One of my breakout speakers is as you mentioned, and I was impressed you pronounced his name correctly, Dr. Robert Waldinger, right?
Yeah.
So Harvard researcher looks at health and happiness in the lives of men and families, and he is the head of a research longitudinal data set that has followed a cohort of men for 80 years and then their family members.
Wow.
And it's the largest data set of its kind in the world, and he had to simplify that message into a through line, right? A big idea. Well, turns out the big idea was the good life is built with good relationships. Very clear, very straightforward. I can remember that. It's almost
right.
Common sense. It may be uncommonly applied because, tell me what's the good life? How do you build it? The good life is built. And what are good relationships? Well, Dr. Waldinger wanted to bring that talk to stage. So he had to simplify it. But early on in our conversation, he said, look, I'm an expert in a number of things, and TED is not one of them. So whenever I find an expert where I'm going to learn, I lean in.
Yeah.
And, for me, it was clear to me he was going to bring the work to the table, the reps, if you will, in rehearsals. And I'd already seen him speak, so I knew he had the bench strength. And then we worked together for 4 months, maybe, and it culminated in the single most intensely viewed talk in its day of the history of TED. Now been viewed 47 million times.
Wow.
Now. Top 10 all-time TED Talk. But it was largely successful because he came with the right mindset, buy-in, bench strength, and bandwidth. And, of course,
right.
We have on bullion and budget.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, it really... It matters. And so what I'm thinking about is, so I would imagine that most of the people listening, they're small business owners or leaders in companies, salespeople. And so they aren't necessarily thinking, hey, I want to do a TED Talk. But I'm sure there somewhere in them they're thinking, it would be great if I could get my message across much more effectively.
Right.
Right where the results were, what I was really looking for. And so I listen to this and I think everything that you're talking about, it's the same recipe. It's the same ingredients.
It is. And for the TED context and the non-TED context, because as we said before, look, there's TEDx, the TED Talk generation is not Generation XYZ. It's anyone holding an iPhone.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing we didn't talk about yet is, right, so clearly focused in the TED style, story wrapped or sticky in the TED style, action igniting. How is a message actionable? Now, you know, some people tend to stand in front of audience and motivate them and get them ramped up, but there's nothing practical that's clear to do next.
Right.
Some people paint a picture of a perfect world where all the plastic is out of the ozone layer, all the plastic is out of the ocean, and all the whales have been saved. Well, that's an aspirational goal, but I can't do anything with that tomorrow necessarily.
Yeah.
However, I say metaphorically speaking, why don't you hold hands with your daughter or son and walk up to the water's edge, the seashore, see a piece of plastic and pick it up. Invite them to pick up a piece of plastic. Repeat that. And down the shore, somebody's going to see you picking up trash, and they're going to start picking up the trash in their area. And what has happened there is that action igniting takeaway from the message, from the talk, is being repeated. It's spreading. Hmm. It's maybe even becoming a habit. It's something you can do tonight, tomorrow, as opposed to boil the ocean, save the whales, and remove all the plastic from the ozone layer, I joke.
Yeah. Right. It's,
you know, I brought all this. I was in seminary for graduate school, not to become a pastor, but it's actually where I deconstructed TED Talks and why I call these secular sermons, right? Yeah. While they're so spreadworthy and so effective, we borrowed from the pulpit the application. What is the application of the sermon? And if a pastor is giving a talk on Sunday, the parishioner's wondering, how can I apply this in my marriage, in my family life, with my neighbors, tomorrow, the next day, within 2 or 3 days, because guess what? Next week, there's another whole sermon with another whole message and another set of applications. So you can't get up in front of an audience these days and invite them to boil the ocean and save the whales. It needs to be more granular and actionable immediately. And that can lead in the direction of a larger world-changing goal.
Right.
Action igniting.
Yeah. That's key. That is key. And I hope everyone's really hearing that, because what part of what I hear is what we talk about with goal setting, where you can set a big goal, but then you have to break it down.
Break it down, right.
Yeah, actionable, into small, actionable steps, right.
It creates a sense of momentum.
Yes.
You said it exactly, Diane.
Yes, right, right. So it really is about... I love that. I love that igniting action. It can't be too, the word's not coming to me, but.
Too grandiose, too obtuse.
Yeah, too right.
Beyond the immediate, because you need to take that first baby step in the direction of that larger goal.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now nothing I've shared is revolutionary. It's common sense and it's just uncommonly applied.
Yeah.
What is revolutionary is the way TED combined these principles into an idea spreading mechanism.
Yeah.
Right. A TED Talk is not a Toastmasters presentation. Mm-mm. It's not a Dale Carnegie public speaking speech. It's not a motivational speech. It's distinctly a beast unto itself, because at the starting gate, it's fivefold focused, it's story sticky wrapped, and it's action igniting. And each of those three principles come with layers and nuances that make what's a good idea, a great idea, or a greater idea, because it's clearer and simpler.
Yeah, right. And really,
the story is how we spread it. The story is what we remember easiest, and that's what sticks to people, right?
Yeah.
And because the story is wrapped around the big idea. The good life is built with good relationships and the key points. And it turns out there were three, right, in Dr. Waldinger's message. Those three points in the big idea translate in conversation easily, whether online or in person, and millions of views result.
Yeah, so it's just really staying with the humanity of communication.
That's a good insight. That's a good insight. And there's nothing more human than storytelling.
Right.
A certain style and form, though.
Yes.
This generation and this revolution we've experienced in communications technology.
And that's a big part of the message, right? That's a big
part.
So true.
I mean, look, there have been conferences for years and decades and centuries, probably. You know, there are a lot of conferences out there. But when TED came along, there weren't countdown clocks, right? Saying 18 minutes or less. TED innovated there. But social media was new.
Right.
YouTube was new. And those technological innovations with TED and its distinct message design, those two met and it was catalytic.
Right. And we have an opportunity. If we never do a TEDx or a TED Talk in the true sense of the word, we all have an opportunity to use that construction to improve our communication and the stickiness of it.
And let's say let's tighten that communication. Let's clarify that communication. Let's simplify that communication and story and next step.
Yes.
Frankly, picture this. How many times have you seen a president, a vice president, a CEO, an entrepreneur landing in the plane, right? Delta Airlines, they're in first class and they're working on their deck, their PowerPoint deck for the presentation they're about to deliver. Well, I mean, it's last minute. It hasn't been given priority. It's not going to be as focused and action igniting today or tomorrow. If it had been worked on for a week or more in advance, we know it would be clearer and simpler in action igniting. But no, we're shuffling the PowerPoint slides as we land, knowing we're going to deliver in 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens too many times. Or you see a presenter stand up and they nailed the opening, right? The traditional Toastmasters or Dale Carnegie public speaking training norm is nail that opening, catch the interest. And then you can coast through the middle with the slides that are going to remind you what's next. They're kind of your crutches, memory crutches, but then nail that close and that call to action. Well, what that does for this generation is it gives them an excuse to stop paying attention and be bored in the middle, right?
Yep.
TED is different in so many ways, but here's one. When we begin scripting a message to deliver on stage or screen, we don't begin at the top of the yellow pad or at the top of the Microsoft Word document, and definitely not on a PowerPoint slide. We begin not with, it was a dark and stormy night, insert big idea, three key points, story, you know, and then bring them to their feet with a call to action. The message may flow that way, but my point is we begin in the middle. We've focused on the big idea first and foremost, and then we've spent a lot of time refining and balancing and tightening those three key points that support the big idea. Once we've got the middle figured out, key point one, two, three, and the big idea, then we know how much time is left on the countdown clock for the opening or for the close. And that's just, you know, a little ninja way that a TEDster prepares that's different from the traditional way. And it makes all the difference in the world. Testers don't go over the countdown clock, right? They don't lose momentum in the middle of the message. The whole message is building towards an igniting call to action. And, you know, the sad reality is these days, too few people are translating in their own context, in their own next presentation in front of a group of 2 or 20 or 200, how to use these TED Talk tools. And so it's exciting to see when the, you know, tumbler falls into place mentally for somebody, they go, oh, I can do that. I can, I can come up with one 10 word or fewer through line, big idea.
Yeah.
I can support that big idea, undergird it with 3 points that have the same pithiness, right? Bumper sticker wisdom, if you will. Here's a very practical way for any of your listeners to begin applying this model in their next presentation. This is a, I can apply this tomorrow.
Okay.
We talked about the big idea and the 3 key points and the action steps. What that describes to me, picture a temple, the dome of the temple. The dome of the temple structure, that's the big idea.
Okay.
And supporting that dome are 3 key points, the pillars. And just like in architecture, those pillars need to be the same height, same density, the same width. So too, the key points that you're making in your message. Each column is layer of a story, perhaps, research that undergirds that story, an application of that story in another context so the audience can get their brain around it, you know, a repeat of the key point. Those layers of each pillar need to be the same and follow the same structure. Otherwise, you got a tippy-toppy temple that's going to fall down. Then ask yourself, how do you enter the temple and exit the temple? Well, that's a story. And how do you take action? Well, mentally, those are the steps leading out of the temple. And we say we want 6 or fewer action steps. So what I invite people to do is, hey, even with a sticky note or a whiteboard, draw a temple and start filling in those blanks. 6 key points, story doorway in, story doorway out. 3 columns, big idea. And people find that structure so much more helpful than, you know, key point, you know, title of talk, point 1, 2, sub point B, C, 1, 2, 3, you know?
Yeah.
The visual helps with the fill in the blank. And there shouldn't be a podcast interview, frankly, that any of your listeners give that isn't, you know, clearly focused story wrapped in action, igniting in the TED style.
Well, I'm with you on that one.
It's simple, but you know, complex.
It's simple, but not easy.
But it's not commonly applied.
Right.
And so what we try and do is bring tools that are for DIYers. Right.
Yep.
Not everybody is going to have the budget or, you know, the wherewithal to hire a one-on-one coach to prepare a keynote. A lot of people do. But if you're a DIYer, don't you want a simple and clean and clear tool like the message temple to structure your next presentation?
Sure.
I think, you know.
Yeah.
And don't you want a structure for designing a story so that it's sticky?
Yeah.
And you can just tick those points off and know that your story is ready to go.
Yeah.
But sadly, you know, too many folks just kind of wing it.
Yeah.
Last minute it. And they miss the wisdom that is Tony Robbins, you know, the big motivational voice who gave a TED Talk once. I'm not a huge fan, but there is a lot of wisdom in what he shares. And one of those wise points was practice. Don't practice until you can get it right. And unfortunately, that's what most leaders do. They practice until you can kind of get it right and coast through the PowerPoint slides. He says, don't practice until you can get it right. Practice until you can never get it wrong.
Ah, Yeah.
And that's right. The level that a TEDster brings to any communication challenge and opportunity.
Well, and something that I've been thinking about through this whole conversation is you have to realize that it matters. Coasting doesn't work.
Right?
Anything that you're going to be communicating, it is worth it to go through this sort of exercise because technically it saves time on the back end.
Good point. Good point. And so true.
Well, let's hope everyone hears all of these points. And Devin, I'm so grateful to you for spending this time with me and sharing this information. It is such a great way of thinking about and considering communication and, you know, with the added benefit now of having a better understanding of what TED is all about. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you and anything else you think they should know, please?
Oh, sure, Diane. And thank you for the opportunity to explore and play with some of these ideas in our conversation. It's been a lot of fun. Any of your listeners want to, in fact, I'll do this. There is a tool we can share with your listeners that you can access via Connect to Compel now.com. Now that's Connect T-O Compel now.com. And that'll just take you to a landing page where there's a resource you can download. And what that tool will do is unpack focus, story, and action, and pair those principles with three separate TED Talks so you can see them illustrated on the screen and on the page.
Uh-huh.
And that tool is a great next step.
It sounds like it. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. I'll make sure that is in the show notes as well. Oh my goodness. I took notes, folks.
Oh, good. Yay. Yep. You know, if you took notes, one of the fun walkaways with the message temple is it also works with Post-it notes. You know how you have Post-it notes of different
sure.
sizes? You know, I use the large 4x6 Post-it note as the dome of the temple. And then I take your typical Post-it note and I slice it in half lengthwise with scissors. And those are my three columns. And then I take even smaller for the action steps. And I start filling in Post-it notes and shifting and sorting them around. Because, you know, we have 2, 3, 4, 5 ideas that we want to get across. And what's the order going to be? And right. where do those three fit? Right?
Yes.
Become part of the exercise. And I always say those other Post-it notes are still have merit and use. It's just in another presentation, not this
one. Ah. Ooh, that's good too. Wow. Okay. This is great. I mean, seriously. And I know that whenever I'm taking notes, that means the listeners are taking notes and that it's an episode you have to listen to more than once. So thank you so much for that. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.